Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to UCLA Bruin Talk. I'm Dave Marcus. Naomi Manea not with us this week. She'll rejoin us in a couple of weeks. It's madness time. The calendar has turned, and we're going to get ready for it, talking to some people from women's basketball after this. But first, let's take a look at our upcoming events. UCLA women's basketball team is off to their best start ever. 14-1 away from Pauley Pavilion. They've been brilliant at home as well, with high hopes going into the Pac-10 and NCAA tournaments. And we're very pleased to be joined by a couple of key members of the squad, assistant coach Tony Perotti and senior Christina Nezekwe. First, Chris, let me ask you, how does it feel being a senior, having a team with such a great season?
It feels great. We've worked really hard throughout my four years here, and we've worked really hard in the summer. And from last year, like when we were ranked 23rd, we've just been keeping the engine moving and stuff. So.
Last year, you had a great run at the end of the season, won 10 out of your last 11 games, and then you ended up playing in the tournament with a 20-point win in the first round, and then you pressed a number one seed in Nebraska in the second round. How did that kickstart this current season?
Well, just from last year and just making it to the tournament, it was like a blessing and everything. And we knew like we had the talent, we had the power, the will to win, and the will to like possibly go further next year in the tournament. And it's just like what Coach says, like in off season, you know, you have to prepare for preseason, post regular season, and postseason. And so I think the making it to the tournament last year just gave us more confidence.
Tony, your staff in its third year in Westwood, head coach Nikki Caldwell, Tasha Butts, Stacey Terry, yourself, y'all came over, and it was a work in progress. We talked about last year, the great run at the end of the year. Did you expect results like this year?
I think we did. I think if you asked Nikki, she would say absolutely. You know, coming from programs that we came from at Tennessee, that you know, you expect to win, you expect to be better every year. And I think the work that these young women have put in through the last 3 years and how they've committed to accepting the challenges that Nikki's put in front of them, I think they've really embraced it. And we did expect this. We actually expected maybe to be a little bit better than we are right now.
Well, you're 24-3 as we sit here and chat, and two of the losses to number two Stanford. A big win on the road early in the season, actually a couple. Two of your first three games were against teams that went to the Sweet 16 last year. You were down 8 at halftime against San Diego State, came back and won, and then winning in front of 9,000 people at Notre Dame. What a kickstart to the year.
Yeah, the San Diego State game was great. It was kind of a measure right off to see where we were going to be. And Coach really wanted to make sure we played a bunch of people on the road early to really test ourselves and to see how good we could be. So the team fought back after, you know, kind of a tough first half offensively. Second half was great. We got after it defensively and forced a bunch of turnovers and got ourselves going a little bit. And then, of course, the Notre Dame win was fantastic. Fantastic atmosphere to play in. Got down a little bit and had to come back in regulation and overtime. But this team showed no panic, a lot of will to win, a lot of heart, a lot of grit, and those are the types of games that get you through when it comes to postseason.
Chris, let's talk about that attitude. When you came to UCLA 4 years ago, the team played a lot of really good games, but there were a lot of, you know, 1-3-point losses where you just couldn't quite get over the hump. This year, this team knows how to dig in and win those games. What's the difference?
I think the difference is just definitely, I think, more confidence, and also just knowing that, like, you can't give up. You got to keep going. Like, you're down, you may be down 3 with like a minute left, but you know there's still possibly, that you just need to score, because there's still, you still have 2 possessions out of maybe 4 or whatever. So, yeah.
Let's talk about your game. At 6'4", you're very versatile, running all over the floor. A very good catch-and-shoot player. You made one against Cal a couple of weeks ago where you had to beat the buzzer. You got the ball, fired it from about 16, nothing but net. What is it about that instantaneous catch-and-shoot mentality that you like?
In that situation, I remember setting a screen for Rex, and I just remember Rex going over. I'm just like, and I knew there was like only a few seconds left, and she gave me the ball, and I hit it, and it was just like, I was just hoping that would be a momentum changer in the game, because Cal was playing us like tough in the first half and everything. So,
Tony, let me ask you, Bruin women's basketball fans know that March means the mustache goes. February was mustache month for you. What kind of feedback did you get this year about your growth?
Most people don't like it. They they make fun and all that, and that's fine. To me, it's something I've done for a while now, and the players give me a hard time about it, and they laugh about it. And, you know, February is a tough month for basketball. You know, it's kind of a grind month. Your second half of your conference season, and, you know, you need to lighten the mood a little bit. So I like to have a little fun with the team and the coaches, and they give me a hard time, but that's fine. We're a family, and it's kind of what you're supposed to do.
You came to UCLA from Northern Arizona, where you were the associate head coach and an assistant coach. And before that, your story is very interesting. You actually played women's basketball, well, at least on the scout team at Tennessee. Tell us how you got involved with Pat Summitt's program to play on the scout team.
It's actually interesting. I was, as a freshman, I was on campus for about 2 days, and I went to play pickup in one of the gyms on campus. And so happens that Lori Milligan and Abby Conklin, 2 players on the team, were there playing pickup as well. So I got to know them and got to meet them and meet some of the managers and on the team through them. And eventually they, you know, said, hey, you know, we like playing with you. Why don't you come out and be on the practice squad? So, you know, that was kind of my introduction to Tennessee women's basketball. And from there, kind of, you know, jump-started this whole coaching career.
Did you ever have coaching in mind when you started college?
I did when I finished high school. I thought I would come back and be a high school coach or something to that effect at home. But turned out a little bit different for me as I went through my college years.
Chris, you also came from out of town, from up in Seattle, where you were a part of a championship team at Chief Sealth High. Mm-hmm. And you came down to UCLA with one of your teammates who ended up transferring after a year. How tough was that on you, being the one staying in L.A.?
It was tough, because now I was like kind of like by myself. But I had my teammates, some of my teammates who helped me out, who helped me get through some of the hard times and stuff. So that was cool.
Now, you have had a very challenging academic path at UCLA. Tell us a little bit about your major and what your career plans are in that field.
I'm an applied math major. That's a tough major, especially playing sports, because you're traveling and you're missing class, and so that can be tough. But my plans right now are, I applied to graduate school, but I applied to like urban planning and applied to another school for transportation, because I'm interested in transportation. And we'll see what happens with that.
Now, most of the team knows that if they want to find out what's happening in any sport anywhere around the country, they can either go on the computer or they can ask you. You're just a huge sports fan. You know everything about everything. You break it down for them. When did you develop an interest in sports that was so strong?
I think it might have been in the probably in the summer of maybe like my 7th grade year or 8th grade, because I wasn't playing AAU basketball. I would just be at home just chilling, and I remember just watching like WNBA and watching tennis like for the first time and trying to figure out like how they play tennis and how the point system works and stuff. And then I got interested in that, and just, I don't know, it just kind of grew, like certain sports just grew. Like my brother played football, and so I started growing on football, and so I started watching more of that, and so that's how that's how I became more interested in sports.
Yeah, if you ever want to find out how Peyton Manning is going to attack a cover two, ask Chris. She knows it.
Absolutely.
Tony, let me ask you a little bit about the upcoming tournament. There's been a lot of talk about this Bruin team being fairly undersized. Then you go into the NCAA tournament, you've got big players, Tashia Phillips, Jontel Lavender, they're out there. You got to find a way to attack them. Are you, as one of the coaches, scouting this thing out? Are you already looking at possible matchups 2 and 3 and 4 rounds down the road?
Sure, there's a lot of projections out there as far as where you're going to go, where you're going to be seeded. I mean, we have been seeing anywhere between a 2 and a 3 seed, most likely running into a situation where down the road you could play a Baylor, for example, in Dallas. So I think one of the things is just because of how the tournament seeds and work, we certainly won't play in the same region as Stanford because they will most likely be a 1. So you try to look at some of the teams that you're going to play against, how do they play, and you know, the beautiful thing, there's so many women's games on TV now, you can see a lot of the games and start to think how you would match up against certain opponents. We have to take those games one at a time, but certainly one of us assistant coaches will be scouting ahead as we know that we would like to advance through the tournament. But this team's earned, a great seed. Hopefully a 2 would be, I think, sufficient right now for where we're at. Hopefully if we do some more things as we go forward, we could even do better than that.
Well, again, the projections, you start looking at number 1 seeds, you're looking for 4 games down the road. I'm sure there's a danger at looking at that game and forgetting that you're going to play somebody very good in round 1, round 2, round 3.
Right. The interesting part of the women's tournament is a little bit more geographic. So you could end up playing on a lower seed's home floor, considering that they're automatically hosting games. So you really have to kind of take that in stride and see what happens. But, these next couple weeks are March Madness. The end of conference seasons, tournaments, all these things happen, and people get in that weren't expected to get in, so the seeding goes crazy. So you just have to kind of keep your eyes on it and stay focused on what we have to do, which is win our next 2 home games, make sure we get ourselves to the championship game of the Pac-10 tournament, and see what happens from there.
The Pac-10 tournament with a very different format this year. For the first time, teams that finished first or second in the regular season get a bye all the way to the semifinals, which are at Staples Center and not
right.
Galen Center.
Right.
The Bruins earned that, and remarkably, you earned that number 2 seed with 5 games left in the regular season. How does that change what you do in the last regular season games, if at all?
It doesn't. I think this team has earned that. We've played a great schedule all year. This team has played hard and played physical and aggressive and tough through all of these conference games, and they've earned that, and that's their reward. We know that going into these last 2 home games, we've got to make sure we take care of our business, improve every game, every day, because right now it is really about us getting better as we push into late March.
Chris, you watch a lot of basketball games. I'm sure you've seen the Lakers play a lot at Staples Center. Pretty exciting to be going out to Staples to play your Pac-10 game?
Oh, yeah, it is exciting. Just watching the Lakers on TV and watching the Sparks and everything, just being able to play there, it's good.
We talked about the teams that you'll face in the NCAAs. No question, the Bruins are going to the NCAAs this year. We're not on any kind of bubble. You're a very versatile player. You can play inside, you can play outside. What are you working on to get ready for postseason play?
Just keep working on my 15-foot range shot, working on my post moves, and working on making sure I box out, and just playing good defense.
You're one of 4 seniors. You're going to have your senior day this weekend. What are your thoughts going into that?
I'm just excited to see my mom. Just excited to see her. Actually, it's her birthday on Saturday. And so, that's the most excited thing. So.
Well, there's a lot of excitement going around Westwood as UCLA women's basketball. Best start ever and a great postseason still yet to come. Tony Perotti, Christina Nezekwe, thank you for joining us on Bruin Talk.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
And we will come right back with more Bruin Talk after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions made here.
Welcome back to UCLA Bruin Talk. It's time now to salute our athlete of the week, and he had a great week. It's Reeves Nelson of the men's basketball team. In a recent matchup with Arizona, Reeves had a career-high 27 points and 16 rebounds. The game was a historic one for the Bruins, as it was the last time the men's team played in legendary Pauley Pavilion before it closed for renovation. The 71-49 victory also tied UCLA with Arizona for the top spot in the Pac-10 and gave a nice finish for the Bruins in the month of February, in which their only loss was on the road against Cal in overtime. Reeves' career-high achievements plus three assists and 77% shooting percentage also helped bolster the team going into the postseason. Congratulations, Reeves, and good luck to the rest of the team. And if you want more information about men's basketball or any of the sports at UCLA, please check out the website at UCLABruins.com. Well, it's time now to talk about another spring sport. We talked about basketball getting into March Madness, but golf is right in the middle of their season, and we're very pleased to be joined by freshman Anton Arboleda, a freshman member of the UCLA golf team. Thanks for joining us on Bruins Talk.
Thanks for having me.
You're coming off a nice tournament with a tie for eighth in the USC Invitational. What's it been like in your freshman year?
It's been a lot of fun. We've been playing a lot of internal competition. I've really enjoyed being here and playing, being a Bruin, so I've enjoyed it.
You have had your path paved by some family members. I know you've got some sisters who've gone to UCLA. Was it always kind of a no-brainer that you were going to want to come here?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. My sister did her undergraduate program here, and I visited her, and I love the campus, and they've always had a storied athletic program, golf team, so I've always wanted to come here.
You grew up in Southern California playing up at La Cañada on a very narrow, hilly course. So I guess you had to learn how to hit the ball straight from a pretty young age.
Yeah. When I was growing up there, didn't give much off the tee, and I learned how to control my ball, so it was a good place for me.
How old were you when you really started playing seriously?
When I first started playing seriously, I was about 9 or 10 years old. My dad introduced the game to me when I was about 4. And when I was at 9 or 10, I started, you know, taking the game seriously, practicing every day, and wanting to get better.
It's interesting you say practicing every day, because there aren't a lot of 9 and 10-year-olds that practice every day. They just go out and play golf. They don't work on... But were you working on specific parts of your game?
I'd say so. I was taking lessons and really learning a lot from my coach in San Diego. And, yeah.
Anton, being a freshman in college is always difficult, but it's got to be more difficult when you also have a sport to balance. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to interact the two?
It's definitely been a lot of time management that I've learned. In the fall quarter, you know, there's a lot of new things that I've never seen before with school and just how things are run differently. I'm on my own schedule, on the team schedule. So just a lot of time management.
John Wooden always used to say, sports don't develop character, they reveal it. What have you learned about yourself on the golf course with how you handle adverse situations?
I think golf has a lot to do with life and just how you handle yourself. It teaches patience and you know, getting through the tough parts, because you don't always play well on the golf course, and it's a lot of mental time in between shots, and you're out there for 4 hours, so it's a lot of internal battle.
When you were younger, you played competitive tennis, and you also played baseball, so you we weren't just a golfer. What was it about golf that really grabbed you?
I guess the individual part, about how I didn't have to rely on anyone else, and you know, how much of a mental game it was, and I really enjoyed that.
You joined a program that's had great success. Derek Freeman's in his fourth year as the head coach of UCLA golf. What have you learned about your game and about golf since you got to campus?
That you can always get better. You know, every day our whole team is competing with each other, pushing each other in a friendly environment where everyone's just looking to get better and improve their games. So,
as a golfer at UCLA, you play some pretty outrageous courses, don't you?
Yeah.
Tell us about where you use as your home courses.
We play Bel Air Country Club as our home course. The LA Country Club, the North Course, since I redid it in January, has opened up, and we get to use. Luckily, Derek has got a membership this year, and we're able to play there on a weekly basis, so it's been really nice.
There's also a facility on campus. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have we call it the GIF, named after Jack Gifford, a donor of UCLA Golf, and we have a range where we can have the IM field and a practice green where we have, you know, 24-hour access to, and a golf clubhouse where we can relax and you know, get some studying in between classes, so that's nice to have.
Seriously? 24-hour access?
I mean, we have a key to it, so.
Little 2 a.m. practice session?
Yeah.
That's a great spot to work on your short game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where you score.
Yeah, yeah. There's a green there. We can putt there, you know, hit up to 60-yard wedge shots, which you really need out there in college golf and just to improve to the next level.
Tell us about the strength of your game and what you're working on to develop more.
Mm-hmm. I guess my short game, my chipping, and is probably my strongest part of the game around the greens. My putting's pretty solid, and I think if I can just get more consistent off the tee and with my irons and just get, you know, play consistently throughout the year, I'll be right there.
A couple of years ago in a junior tournament, you qualified at Pinehurst. Mm-hmm. What was it like playing that great old course?
Oh, it was great. I was only 15 at the time. Probably the second youngest competitor there, and you know, seeing all those guys I was playing with now and what they're doing, it was a good experience.
One of the stars of the Bruin team is Connor Driscoll. He's a senior. Has he and have other senior members of the team passed down some advice to you that's been helpful to you?
Yeah, Connor's been great. He's really looked out for the freshman Patrick and I, and he's told us what we need to do and how to get through certain things and with classes and professors, and you know, I really looked up to him.
One of the things about playing golf in California, as you grow up, you play in usually pretty good weather. You get into college golf, you're playing, you know, up in Washington State or mm-hmm. back in the Midwest where it's cold, it's wet. How difficult has it been to learn how to play in those kind of elements?
You know, growing up, I played in junior tournaments across the country in some poor conditions, and I think you just have to learn how to manage your shots, manage your game, and take one shot at a time. So it's still golf up there, and you just do your best to handle the conditions.
It's a very young Bruin team. 8 of your 11 members are underclassmen. It's got to be nice to know you've got a bond that's going to last a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice. We have only one senior, and we're looking forward to this year and next year and playing well and knowing that the guys will be back, and we're just going to keep getting better.
Anton, tell us about your student life. What kind of classes are you taking? How are you enjoying the student part of college life?
It's nice. I've been meeting a lot of people. The classes are a bit challenging, but they're very manageable, especially with all the help we get here. They've been interesting, and some of my professors are definitely characters, so it's been nice.
Got any idea what you want to do, golf in your future, when you get out of UCLA?
Yeah, I plan on turning professional after 4 years here and seeing where that takes me.
You look at the ranks of the PGA Tour, there's a lot of former Bruins out mm-hmm. there. Anybody in particular that you have followed that played here?
Kevin Chappell. Since I started looking towards colleges of where I wanted to play collegiate golf, I saw him and he was playing well, and he spent 1 year out on the Nationwide Tour, and now he's on the Professional Golf Tour and he's doing great.
Yeah. Well, The season is a long one. Your tournaments are this time of year, but you also had fall tournaments mm-hmm. to get prepared. How has your game progressed over the year?
Definitely in the fall, you know, with all the new things that we had with college, different people I was playing with every day, different classes, different lifestyle. It took me a bit of an adjustment period to get used to, but when I came back for winter break, I came refreshed, took some time off from the game, and I feel like I've definitely gotten better this spring. Worked with my coach and worked with Derek on the mental side of it, and really felt like I've been playing better this spring.
Well, Anton, it was a great pleasure having you come in, meeting you, and giving people a chance to learn about UCLA golf.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for this edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. I'll be back next week with another interesting show. Until then, so long for now from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.